For those of you who have not met me before, my name is Yogi Aaron, and I'm the owner of Blue Osa Yoga Retreat, which is right behind me here, this beautiful landscape. And this is our beautiful yoga studio that I'm shooting at. One of the things that I've been working on the last couple of years is developing what we're calling applied yoga anatomy and muscle activation technique. And the reason for this is because over the last many years that I've been teaching yoga, I've really began to notice that so many people are injured and or getting injured, or they're dealing with injuries and they're not getting better. One of the most interesting things that I've kind of noticed a lot is that people will go to a yoga class and they'll come in like with a little bit of an ache or pain and go, you know, Yogi Aaron, I've got this pain. And I'll be like, okay, don't worry, we'll fix it in yoga. And then we'll stretch it out and we'll do all of these different kinds of movements and stretches. Maybe we increase that person's range of motion, and they come out of the class and they're like, yeah, I feel better. And then about an hour or two later, say to them, like, how are you doing? Or the next day when I see them, I'll say, how are you doing? And they end up feeling worse. And I'm kind of reminded of my dear friend Ginger, who is at Blue Osa right now. And she started taking all of these different kind of yoga classes with a lot of different people. And she had a really bad back injury going on. And she felt good when she did those classes, but then afterwards she would feel worse and wake up in the next day and not even able to move more than what she was before she did the yoga class. So the question is, why is this happening? What is it in the yoga classes that's going on? That's one question. But the second question is, what is also going on behind the scenes? What is going on behind the body or in the body? And we need to recognize at some point that all of us are dealing with stress, with trauma, whether it's psychological or physiological. We're dealing with dehydration. We're dealing with overuse. If I keep doing a certain movement all the time, this is going to create an overuse in the body. We often call this repetitive stress syndrome. You know, and we see this a lot, for example, with carpal tunnel syndrome. When you're constantly using the same muscles or the same movement all the time, we create a cumulative stress in there. What does that stress do? And it's important to also kind of note, like when we're talking about stress, it's this huge topic. I often say that stress is one of the most under-researched, underfunded areas of learning and knowledge. Because the underlying currents of stress and what it can do to our body, and more importantly, and this is going to tie into our talk today, more importantly, what it's doing between the messaging system, between the muscles and the brain. What is happening between the messaging system, between the muscles and the brain? Kind of lock that in. Because a lot of us think like, you know, we've got a strong body, I can, you know, run a marathon, I can do many things, I can, you know, bench a certain amount of weight. But if that messaging system isn't working, then the muscles lose their ability to contract and contract on demand, and that's what we're looking for. When my friend Ginger, who is at Blue Osa, was hurting her back, what had ended up happening was the muscles that stabilize the lower back stop working. They just stop working. And so what we want to do is get those muscles to continue working and continuing to be able to fire and contract on demand. What we're looking at doing is repairing that messaging system. And you can kind of think about it like, as one of my teachers calls it, battery cables between the battery and the engine. Now, the battery can be strong and the engine can be working really well. But if the battery cables, if there's something going on between those battery cables, then the spark between the battery and the engine doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. So we need to get the battery cables repaired. We need to get that messaging system repaired. So we need to get this messaging system between the battery and the engine repaired. And that's what we're talking about, or one of the things that we're talking about when we're talking about applied yoga anatomy and muscle activation. We're looking to get the muscles that are supposed to be supporting the body activated. And you know, sometimes you're just doing things in your life. Some of us have children, some of us have active lives. And I'm sure that some of you have had that experience of like tweaking your back. You know, you get up from doing something and all of a sudden your back hurts. Well, the question is, why does your back hurt? What muscles are not working properly? What muscles have lost their ability to contract and contract on demand? We have a lot of different stabilizing muscles, and all of them need to be able to function well. All of these muscles need to be able to contract and contract on demand. And some of us are really also good at compensation, and we go out of our ways. Like, we know we have a sore back, you know, and we've learned how to sleep a certain way. We've put pillows in between our legs. Some of us prop up our legs. Some of us have shoulders that are kind of like a little not strong. So when we're doing, you know, plank pose in yoga or Chaturanga Dandasana, we learn to compensate in those different poses to avoid pain. Human beings are really, really genius at avoiding pain. Do you guys all agree? Yes or yes? We're really good at it. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. But from an applied yoga anatomy and muscle activation perspective, what we want to do is start to identify, where are we compensating? Why are we compensating? And how do we start to reconnect the brain to those muscles? How do we have better battery cables between those two points? Okay, so that's a little bit about applied yoga anatomy and muscle activation. What I wanted to also kind of stress upon is this idea of stretching and yoga. And it may come as a shock to you, and if this is your first time ever hearing this kind of information, I just ask that you have an open mind. But stretching in and of itself is a stress in the muscular system. It is applying a stress. It's forcing a muscle to go beyond its capacity. And I'm not talking about this idea of, you know, you should listen to your body and not go to your end range. I'm talking about just pushing a muscle beyond what it's capable of doing. Anytime we start pushing a muscle beyond what its capacity to contract or lengthen, there's a stress that's applied there, and it severs the communication system between the brain and the muscles. It's interesting, if you just use your Google machine and Google this, you'll find a lot of interesting information about this. One of the interesting statistics I read and I found was that on young athletes who stretched before going for a run or doing their athletics, their muscles stopped working. They tested them and they found that their muscles stopped working for 30 minutes. And I find this interesting because a lot of these studies are actually done on people that are usually like 18, 19, 20 years old. And so, of course, their muscles are going to turn back on. But what if they did the same test on somebody that's like 40 years old or 50 years old or 60 years old? What if they do this test on somebody that's like 50 years old, and what is the response time of that muscle coming back and working properly again? So anytime we push a muscle beyond what its capacity is to contract or its capacity to lengthen, the communication system between the brain and the muscle stops working. So we need to kind of think about our yoga practice in a different way. And I'm just going to just use one example of this. if you think about a posture like Parsvottanasana, some of you guys know this is pyramid pose. If you think about a pose like pyramid, what is our normal tendency? Our normal tendency is to come forward as far as we can and then stay here and work the stretch. So we're kind of using gravity to pull us passively into a yoga posture. What if we were to work this posture a little bit more dynamically by extending the spine, coming forward and going, okay, that's right about where my range of motion is right now. And if I can maybe just stay here and just hold this pose for a little while, while mindfully activating in my brain, activating all of the different muscles, as opposed to, okay, I'm going to go as far as I can into this pose and see how much I can stretch my hamstrings. One of the most misconceptions or erroneous perceptions that a lot of people have, especially in the yoga world and fitness world, is that we forget that muscle tightness is a sign of muscle weakness. We think of our stereotypical Biff that comes into yoga and he's like this, you know, I'm going to do yoga. And what do we do? Biff, you need to open your chest. I'm going to give you some things to stretch your chest out. But instead, from an applied yoga anatomy point of view, we actually begin to go, okay, so Biff is like this. What muscles does he need to activate in order to come out of this? It changes the way that we think of muscles very differently, the way that we approach our yoga practice in a different way. Each muscle has an opposite muscle. In anatomy, we call that antagonist and agonist muscles. So if I stretch my big bulging bicep here, what is the opposite muscle? The opposite muscle is the tricep. So as the bicep engages, the antagonist, which is the tricep, relaxes and releases. So instead of trying to stretch the tricep, why not work on the bicep's contractibility so that the tricep will start to relax? If a muscle is engaging, for example, we think of the gluteus muscle and the psoas major, which are synergistic and also antagonist and agonist muscles. If the glute is engaged properly, the psoas releases. One of the things I constantly hear, especially from senior yoga teachers, oh my God, my psoas is locked up. And so what they do is they try to get in there and they try to massage the psoas and release it. Maybe do some myofascia release, you know, namaste, it's all good. But what about addressing the glutes? As soon as you start to activate the glutes, guess what? The psoas starts to relax. If the glute, which is the opposite muscle to the psoas, is not properly engaging, guess what? You have a locked up psoas. So by treating the psoas first, we're actually creating more stress in that area of the body. We're not really addressing the primary concern, which is, in this case, the glutes, and a few other muscles as well. So today I wanted to give you a very simple and easy hack in order to begin really stabilizing your back and getting rid of back pain. It's really important in the conversation of, like, when we start talking about getting rid of pain, that we look at all of the muscles. And there's definitely some major stabilizing muscles. The glutes are stabilizing muscles. If the glutes aren't working, the whole support system isn't working well. We also want to think about the abdominal muscles. We want to think about the psoas major, which I was just talking about. There's also other hip flexors involved. And we need to address the whole system. It's really hard to just isolate sometimes one thing. However, there definitely is on the hierarchy of muscles some that are probably, I wouldn't say more important, but definitely very important to consider. And that if you can get those muscles strong, usually the other muscles start working better. When I'm working on people and I'm doing muscle activation therapy with people, I'm always like completely shocked and amazed at when someone comes in and both sides are testing weak, But then I look at the side that's worse and I start working on that side. The other side starts testing strong. So usually if we can get those, you know, those major muscles working in a better way, then oftentimes they start to, the rest of the system starts working better. So the big muscle group that we want to look at are the obliques. And the obliques, I don't think, get enough press. They're part of the what we refer to as the abdominals. The obliques are really important. If we're looking at Skelly, where the obliques are, we're looking at sort of the first, the bottom seven ribs. So the obliques kind of attach themselves to the bottom of the rib cage and then wrap around to the front where the linea alba is. So there's this huge muscle. There's actually two sets of obliques. There's internal obliques and external obliques. And then they're also divided by two different divisions. So the obliques are this really important system of muscles that, as you can see, if they start here at these bottom ribs and wrap around and connect right in the center, then you, it's very clear that these muscles are really important for spinal stability. The obliques are really imperative for movement. If these obliques are not working well, your movement is impaired, bottom line. And different things can really start to shut down obliques. We talked about stress, trauma, overuse. We've talked about overstretching and dehydration. And stress also can relate to sort of mental stress as well as physiological stress. So any kind of stress at all is going to have, is going to impair our movement. Strong obliques, if the obliques are strong, it prevents back pain. And that's, of course, our topic for today is how to prevent back pain and what are some of the muscles to look at. So definitely obliques are preventing lower back pain. They stabilize the spine during rotation. So here I am standing here and I'm rotating. If I don't have strong obliques, there's nothing stabilizing my spine if I'm rotating. From sort of an MAT perspective, from a muscle activation technique perspective, every single movement we do typically involves some form of rotation. Very seldom do I ever just move forward or backwards or to the side. There's usually always some sort of rotation involved. And the obliques not only stable the spine during rotation, but they also enable rotation and flexion of our trunk. So we're going to just check in with that in a moment when we do our little hack in order to strengthen the obliques and increase more strength and more connection between the brain and the obliques. So that's a little bit about the obliques. It's really important to get these guys strong and activated. One of the things that I want to suggest, especially because I know that there's some yoga teachers watching this and then some diehard yoga practitioners, but I think in sort of our culture, in our kind of Western culture, if you will, we're very type A in the approach. And I can just already see some of your wheels turning. Thinking, oh my God, Yogi Aaron's saying I have to get strong obliques. Okay, and you're probably already YouTubing, you know, oblique exercises and thinking about some of those models that have these very defined obliques. You do not need to do that. Trust me when I say, if you are walking around in the world, you already have strong obliques. What we need to do is reestablish the connection between your brain and those muscles. We need to reestablish that connection between the brain and the muscles. You guys already have strong obliques. You guys are going, you do your daily duties, whatever those things are. You have muscles already. You do not need to go and invest, you know, 30 minutes of your life every day to get stronger obliques. You just need to start reconnecting the cables between your brain and those muscles so that those muscles start to contract and contract on demand. Now, one of the questions that I often get asked is, Yogi Aaron, can I just do this once and then call it a day for the rest of my life? The answer is no. That connection is very weak in most of us. And so we need to get that connection stronger, and it takes time. And the more you do it, the more that connection not only gets strong, but will continue to stay strong. Your tolerance level will start to increase, so that when life kind of throws you a curveball, or not, life kind of, you know, knocks you over to the side, that you're able to actually stand well and not get hurt by what life literally throws at you. So I always think of a few years ago, I went to Mexico and I had a great time, but for 2 days during the trip, I actually got really sick. It was just an intestinal flu or something, and I got really sick. And I came back, and so you think, like, you know, I was on the plane, I got sick, and I was probably doing a lot of walking and doing things to my body that I wasn't accustomed to doing. I was moving outside of what I was accustomed and not able to rely on my compensation mechanisms. So when I got back to home, I was sitting down one day, and I sat down on my couch, and I was, you know, relaxing and having a conversation with a couple of people. And I got up from the couch, and my whole lower back seized right up. And I could not do anything for about a month after that. I literally could not move. It was that bad. And it's just a reminder, like, life, you can think that you're strong and you can think that you got it together, but this process and this practice takes a lot of time. Since then, I've been, knock on wood, have been throwing my back out in many years because I do these exercises and I do them a lot. And of course, there's times in my life when I don't do them for a few days, and I'm always good for the first day, I'm pretty good for the second day, and then the third day, I'm like, something's speaking to me here. Usually by the fifth day, it's like, okay, I need to go back and do some of my exercises. My body is saying, hey, you know, the messaging system is a little bit off. So what I'd like you guys to do is we're going to show you this simple hack. But before we do, just kind of stand up where you are. And I want you to kind of just do a little bit of an experiment. Now, I love experiments because we can kind of do a before and after, but when we're doing these experiments, don't, like, try your hardest. You don't have to try hard to do things, especially when we're talking about reestablishing this connection between the brain and the muscles, okay? So just kind of take your feet a little wide. Don't think statically, just kind of move. And just kind of pretend that you're going to pick something up off the floor, maybe a little bit to the right, and just kind of take your hand down and just see how far you can go comfortably without stressing anything. So that's sort of where I kind of feel right now. I definitely could go further, but that's where I feel like my body can, you know, naturally go to. Again, one of the interesting things about obliques muscles is that it enables rotation and flexion. So if you're kind of reaching to the side a little bit, you're doing some flexion and rotation, okay? So just again, just noticing how you feel, okay? Now, for this demonstration, I'm gonna show you two different ways to do this. So I have a yoga block. This is a nice, wonderful wooden yoga block. If you do not have a yoga block, wooden or foam or whatever, that's fine. You can also go to your couch and get a nice cushion. And this will also work as well. And this little hack that I'm going to show you guys, I am a big fitness fiend. I love working out. I love CrossFit. I love all of that kind of stuff. And it feeds me. It feeds my A-type personality a lot. And so, but I never, ever go to any kind of exercise class without doing what I'm going to show you right now. So I always make sure that my muscles are activated, that my muscles have an ability to contract and contract on demand. And that they're working properly. They're working in a way that's going to support my body. So if you have a yoga block, take the yoga block and just bring it in between your thighs. If you have the cushion, you can do the same thing. Just bring it in between your thighs. Okay. So I'm going to throw my cushion away. And if you have a cushion, if you have a block, use the block. If you have a cushion, put the cushion there. And what you're going to do here is squeeze the block or squeeze the cushion and think about the hips, which are right about here, squeezing into the midline. Okay? So this already is a very powerful and potent way to start lifting up the core, to start strengthening the core muscles. If you don't believe me, just take the block or the cushion out and notice what happens. You might notice that everything just drops. You put the block or the cushion back in there, you squeeze it, and now you're going to start to feel everything lifting up. It's very powerful. So doing a little practice just with this alone is already going to start having some effect. Then the second thing that you're going to do is we're going to do a little bit of a twist. The reason why we're using the block is not only to just lift everything up, but it's also going to stabilize the hips because I don't want you to move the hips when we do this. You're going to bring the hands to the shoulders. You're going to lift up the chest. And so if you look at my lumbar spine, it's actually got a curve right now. The anatomical term is extension. My lower back is extending as opposed to flexing. We want the lower back to extend a bit. Now, I'm not sticking my butt up. That's me sticking my butt up. Don't stick your butt out. But you do want that curve, and you also want to simultaneously lift up at the pubic bone, right where the oblique muscles are attaching to. They attach down at the pubic bone, down in here on skeleton. So you want to lift that up. But also simultaneously, feel some curve there. Take the hips into the midline, squeeze, and you're going to bring the hands to the opposite shoulder and just twist to one side. So I'm twisting to my right. If you want to join me to the right, that's completely fine. You're not seeing how far you can go per se. I just want you to just stay there for a moment and then come back to center. Lift the chest again. You know, lift the elbows up as high as you can. And then find your pubic bone, again, twist to the right. Same side. So keep twisting to the same side. And then come back to center. Again, lift up through the center, lift up at the chest, and then twist again to the right. While squeezing the block, don't allow your hips to move. And then come back to center. Lift up at the chest and then twist. Now, as you're twisting, you should actually start to feel some muscles contracting. Those muscles that are contracting, especially your core, are your oblique muscles. And then come back to center, lift everything up. Remember to extend in the lumbar spine and then twist to your right. Beautiful. And then come back to center. And one more time, lift everything up, lift the elbows up even higher, and then twist again to your right. And then come back. Good. Guess what? We're gonna do the other side now. So we just did one side of the obliques. We're gonna do the other side. So we're going to now twist to our left. So again, reestablish in the block. Lift up at the pubic bone. Bring your hands to your shoulders, maybe recross if you want to. Lift up as high as you can the chest and then twist again to your left. So now you're going to be twisting to your left. And again, lift up. If you want to kind of bring a little bit of yogic breath into this, as you exhale, lift up at the pubic symphysis and then twist to your left. And then we're holding it for about 6 seconds. And then inhale, come back to center. Lift up at the chest, lift up at the heart, extend in the lumbar spine. Exhale, lift up at the pubic bone and start to twist. So what we're doing here, come back to center and repeat it, lift up and then twist. What we're doing here is shortening the oblique muscles. By doing this twist, we're actually shortening the oblique muscles. You can't hurt yourself because you're not forcing yourself to go beyond your end range. Come back to center, lift up at the chest, and then exhale and twist. You can only go as far as your muscles allow you to go. Okay, I'll show you an example of the opposite in a moment. And come back to center, last one. Lift up at the chest, extend in the lumbar spine, squeeze the block, don't allow the hips to move, twist this last time, go as far as you can. Feel those muscles squeezing. Twisting is such a great way to practice yoga. And come back to center. Just take a breath and just feel that for a moment. And you can take the block out. And one of my favorite things to do is always to repeat the experiment. So if you take your feet just a little wide apart, not too wide, and then just come and fold forward. Oh my God. So my range of motion went that far effortlessly. I don't know if the same was for you, but what happened was by doing this, yeah, same thing on that side too. Always blows me away how my body just feels completely different afterwards. What we're doing is we're improving the obliques ability to contract and contract on demand. And so as I'm folding forward, my obliques should be contracting. There's other muscles that should be contracting too. But if those muscles are not functioning well, if those muscles are not working well, then other muscles start to take over. And what those muscles usually that take over are muscles, small muscles in the back that should not be working. These are the muscles in the front body that should be contracting. When I twist, there's certain muscles that should be contracting to support my spine, to support my structure, to support the trunk of the body. If those muscles are not doing their job, then other minor muscles start to take over that are probably already experiencing trauma, that are overstressed and overused and probably dehydrated. So that is a simple and easy hack in order to activate the obliques, which are a major part of your support system for your trunk and spine and your body. Without the obliques working, a lot of problems can start to happen. And this, what I just showed you, is really in and out. You don't need to spend too much time doing it. What I was talking about earlier before, in forcing a stretch, so if I'm doing this pose and I'm just moving the torso, one of the ways that I can kind of go beyond my end range is by using my hands, by displacing my hips, you know, and sometimes even coming up to a wall and forcing myself to go beyond what my capacity is. My capacity in this moment is this. But what we often do in our yoga practice is use our hands, use props to push ourselves beyond what our capacity is, and that is just exacerbating already weak muscles. So what we're looking to do is get the muscles activated so that our alignment is steady and we feel stable.